The Lord be with you.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil, for from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I command? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, listens to my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who listens and does not act is like a person who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it collapsed at once and was completely destroyed." The Gospel of the Lord. Without a foundation, it collapsed and was completely destroyed. And what is the foundation of our society? If you were to go to the Roman Forum, the ruins of it in Rome today, and walk around, you'll see the remnants of buildings that was the center of the great civilization, the Roman civilization. And it influenced the world for more than a millennium. And our founding fathers here in this country were most of all classicists. They had great admiration and respect for the Roman civilization, in particular for Roman law. And they laid our foundation on the basis of Rome. So you have the buildings here, the white capitol buildings. So it would be like going to ancient Rome. They imitated even the layout of the city. The laws themselves were based on Rome. You know, we speak about the infants. It comes from a Latin word, for fari fatus, which means to speak. And the word to speak, actually, if you put a prefix in front of it, you either intensify it as you know, or you change the meaning, or you negate it. In this case, it negates the root meaning, to speak. So infans means not able to speak. And so what we have is the child is not able to speak. It's called an infant. If you joined the army and you took orders and you had to follow the orders of someone else, you're in the infantry. That's the way it is. But the child is not able to speak, but there's a silent scream that the child has, and we hear it. That's why we're here this morning. But I'd like to reflect a little bit on that word, for fari fatus, because there's another word that comes from it. Infant, not capable of speaking, we know. But the past participle, fatus, means that which has been spoken. That which has been spoken, fatus, is that which you cannot change. It's called the fates. And the ancients believed in that there was fates. You find it in the great works of Homer, the Odyssey, the great works of the greatest work of the classical Latin literature in the Aeneid. Fatus is a very powerful word. It's you must follow the fates, a very Greek word that we use for cosmos, which means the world, but actually cosmos means ordered. They believed it was an ordered world. And a person had to find their place in this ordered world. And if you went against the fates, against the order, you would destroy yourself. At the same time, you find in their literature, in their whole, they believe that you were free. You could go against it. So that balance between freedom and fate. And they ultimately thought that the force behind what was moving the world was reasonable. And so if you followed reason, your own reason, you would act according to the fates. And if you went against that reason, you would actually end up destroying yourself. And so they believed there was a plan, there was an order, and you had to find your place in it. And if you acted reasonably, you would be at peace and you would make progress. If you acted irrational, or the word they use is furor. So there's a constant between fate and furor, between madness and irrationality and rationality, is what makes a society either reasonable, peaceful, progressive, or not. And when madness, furor, takes over, that society will collapse. It's no longer reasonable that you act on simply what your freedom. Now, obviously you see what has happened. That in our own society, our founding fathers believed that the great contribution of Rome was the gift of law. And in law was found the reason that told people what was their, not only their rights, but was their duties. It was the foundation that if you don't have law that's based on reason, the foundation of that society cannot last. Now, we know that what has made Western civilization great is it's reasonable, and it's not reasonable, it's based on Judaic ethic values that the whole world admires. But when you start to remove the Judaic ethic values and even reason from the law, which we have done in this country, court decision after court decision, in which we have made that, well, you really don't, reason doesn't play any part here because truth is relative. You really, it's all subjective. And so anything that is of value that you really believe in, you can't impose that on someone else. And if a law is going to impose reason so that madness and furor is not running society, well, we can't have that. We have to allow everybody to do whatever they want in the name of freedom. And so we absolutize freedom and we relativize truth at the risk of ultimately destroying ourselves. And so the great battle, and if you see even in the latest encyclical Caritas in Veritate, Charity in Truth, that was written by Benedict XVI, he says that the modern day problem is an irrational, atheistic, materialistic society that has no place for God, that has removed reason, has removed truth, has removed the foundations of society. And when you do that, you cannot survive. And so what we are doing is we believe that there is a plan. There is a plan of God as Christians being worked out in the world. Just like the ancients believed there was an ordered cosmos, we believed in the providence of God. And you can't go against that providence of God. You do it at your own risk. If you're not even looking for the providence of God, you destroy yourself, because that is what is moving the world. There is a plan. And so it gives us great hope. Because in the midst of chaos, in the midst of apparent failure, we know there is no apparent failure. Or there may be an hour of darkness like we are in at the present time, in which truth is crucified. Life is made, you can just eliminate it. No one's life is sacred. And what happened is we believed, our founding fathers believed, that life itself, human beings themselves, came from God. God gives life. God alone takes life. No one could take their own lives. Called suicide, euthanasia. Cannot have that. You destroy yourselves. Nor does the state have the right to take anyone's life or to give anyone permission to take another person's life. That's absolutely contrary to what our founding fathers believed. We believe these truths are self-evident, that the right to life and freedom comes from Almighty God, and the state is instituted to protect those rights and to see everybody, his right to life and freedom and happiness is allowed without exception. And the right to life is absolute. Your quality of your life, it's relative. It's relative. It differs for different people. We have, with the Supreme Court decision of 73 here in Washington, at the Supreme Court, they changed and eliminated Judeo-Christian principles from our laws. They overturned the Declaration of Independence. They made they removed the foundation of our society by simply saying this, that the absolute value now is the quality of your life. And depending on the quality of your life, that will determine, as others to judge the quality of your life, whether you have the right to life. And so even the Supreme Court decision of January 22nd, 1973, we changed your right to life three times in the womb. We divide it into first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. And it depended on your quality of life, how it was changing. And the more your quality improved, the more you start to get a right to life. And then when you were born, you then have the full right to life. But as your quality of life starts to dissipate, and become less as you grow older, so does your right to life. Whereas we believe as Christians, the Judaic Christian principle in law, in fact, was life comes from God, it is sacred, and every life is important to God, and every life, God has a special plan, providence for each person. And it's being worked out, and we must not get in the way of it. And when you get in the way of God and His plan, and you do not and you think that you can give another the right to kill somebody else. Well, we have lost our bearings. We no longer have the foundation. It will come down. And so what you are doing this morning is you are going out and you're giving a public witness to what this republic was founded upon, what this country was founded upon. You are declaring reason is not something that is subjective. Reason is not something that we disregard. It is something that is absolutely necessary that we have a rational society and that we have Judeo-Christian principles about the sacredness of each life and the importance of each life in our society itself. As Christians, we bring that further dimension that there is a plan of God, that all things are being made one in Christ. And we know that there's only an hour of darkness. Actually, there is a dawn, a new day that the sun never sets. And so the plan of God is being worked out, and we must be faithful, even if our time in our lives, it's the hour of darkness, with great hope that God's plan and God's providence will be worked out. We do not say, oh, what's happening? No, we are privileged. We are privileged if God allows us to be a Golgotha, to be a Calvary, to be at the place where darkness has its hour. But we, like Mary and John, we stand with great hope and faith in the resurrection. We believe that what we do now, our eternal salvation depends upon it, but what we do now, we keep the light of life burning for future generations. We continue now to maintain the foundations of our society. And we stand for life. We stand for rationality. We stand for God. We stand that the state must be submissive to God. And no person must be submissive to the state to the point of losing their life or having others take it. And so as we stand today, this is why, if you want, that the doors at the abortion clinics are closed, that no one sees. What is blinding us? It's irrationality. It's a loss of the sense of truth. It's loss of the sense of the ordered reality that the world is, a sense of God, God's providence. And so we bring this further, wider understanding to this, and we stand there to open up the doors by bringing Jesus Christ. You know, our Holy Father in the encyclical Evangelium Vitae on March 25th, 1995, he said, I give to you the solution, the answer of the victory for the pro-life movement. When he explained in the first 24 sections how we had arrived at a culture of death and a culture of life. He said, the answer is this, it's rather simple. The answer is the blood of Christ. Read section 25. He said, the blood of Christ tells you how important every single person is in the eyes of God. The precious blood, priceless, was shed for every single person. He said, the blood of Christ is what gives us tremendous hope. No matter what we do wrong, the blood of Christ will remove the sins of the world, satisfies God's justice, and is the source of God's mercy. He said, the blood of Christ teaches us, ultimately, the use of proper use of freedom. He said, the blood of Christ, when you think on it, our Lord showed us, what's the purpose of freedom? The freedom is not to be able, we misunderstand freedom as the ability to do good or to do evil. That's a defective freedom. It's not freedom. God is free, and God does not do evil. The fact of freedom is that you can freely give yourself totally to God or to another person in love. That's the essence of freedom. But that freedom must never be separated from truth. It must never be separated from reality. And so when truth and freedom go together, Jesus was driven, I must do the will of my Father, the plan of God, and then he gave himself totally on the cross at the last moment, and he showed us that freedom is not to do what you want, not my body, my choice, it is not to turn in on oneself, but freedom is a gift of God that makes us God-like, that we can give in love ourselves to God and to others, as did Jesus Christ at the last moment of his life, where he gave himself totally to God out of love for us, love for his Father. And this is the proper understanding of freedom, says Pope John Paul II, which is totally misunderstood. Freedom enables us to truly love. Freedom enables us to truly give ourselves to God and to others. It only finds its meaning and its understanding in relationship to another, not to oneself, not to selfishness, not to turning in mind, don't tell me what to do. No, freedom finds its perfection, its fulfillment, and its purpose that you can love God and love others. It's the ultimate quality of man that makes us different from all other beings in this universe. And so we start this Mass today offering the blood of Christ to Jesus, to our Heavenly Father. And then we'll go out to Calvary. Mary will bring us there. We'll follow her. And we'll stand as did John and Mary at the foot of the cross. And we'll give witness to the truth that God loves this world, that God died for us. This is an hour of darkness. And we'll make known by our presence, by the reason, by our faith, by our presence, we'll open up the doors of the clinics so the light of Christ can shine in. And others can see this is insane, what we're doing. And to give others the opportunity to leave and to come out. And to let the children to be born and to live. And so we are involved in a holy work. It's a blessed thing that we do. But we do it first, starting with the strength that God gives to us in the Eucharist. And asking our Blessed Lady to intercede for us and to lead us on this a special day, in the holy name of Mary. And we will call upon Mary, Holy Mary, how frequently, as we say the Rosary, Holy Mary, Mother of God.